Going to have a shorter sermon today because of the guests that we have, and so we're going to try to have just a few words. I know I always say a few words and ends up being more than a few, but we are going to have them come and share about the homeless ministry that we've been involved in the past. But until then, I'd encourage you to turn in your Bibles, or if you have a smartphone or tablet, to Mark chapter 6, and Janice is going to do our reading for us again. She does a fantastic job with that. Mark chapter 6. We're going to be reading verses 30 through 44 together as she reads for us.
Reading from the New Testament book, Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000.
Thank you so much. Don't you wish you could have been there? I mean, I've seen my wife whip up a meal out of nothing and feed a family of 5. But Jesus whipped up a meal and fed a family of 5,000. And I just don't know how he did it. He went from a couple of plates of food in order to feed everyone. And I don't know if he changed their appetite enough that they just needed a bite, or if the plates just started popping up all over the place. And you just, you know, I don't know how it all went down. I wish I could know all the specifics. All I know is that no one argued against this story because everyone left with a full stomach. And people are usually pretty happy if they leave with a full stomach. So it's one of these miraculous, amazing, real moments in Jesus' ministry where the disciples are like, "You want us to do what? You want to, I mean, you know, we're going to spend a bag full of money just to feed these people. And you know what's going to happen tomorrow? They're going to be hungry again. Are you sure that's the way you want to do it?" But Jesus was really concerned about the needs of these people. The disciples acted more like it was just a pain in the neck to even have to mess with all of this because they had much more important things to do than just take care of someone's appetite. But we see in this passage what I have been thinking about this week is real ministry. Some real ministry thoughts that we could talk about together for just a couple of minutes before our guests come to share. Just three ideas that I want to real quickly talk about in this thing that I see. And the first one you'll see on your screen is I want to talk about the power of ministry or the power for ministry. Now, it says that at the beginning of this passage that the disciples had come to Jesus. They were excited. I mean, he had turned them loose and people's lives were changing and people were confessing their sin and finding salvation. The church was exploding and it was just like they were coming back to their teacher and just unloading on him all of the amazing miracles that had happened and all the glorious things that God had been doing through the ministry that he had called them to and empowered them to do. And it was, I mean, we've done this and we've done that and we're going to go there and you know, all of these things. And then Jesus is thinking, boy, these guys have just been going 500 miles an hour. And so you see in this passage what Jesus did oftentimes is he tried to get away and he led his disciples in this. He was trying to teach them that even in the busyness of doing amazing, glorious things for God, you as a human being need to refresh yourself. You need to be rejuvenated. And so they tried to get away, but as often the case, the crowds followed them. In fact, they could kind of see what they're doing and they were so wanting to be a part of this that they ran ahead of them. And so there was no getting away from this crowd. They were so needy and they were so desperate for the goodness of God and for the miracles that they had seen around them. And Jesus tries to talk with them to get them to realize that it is not all these things that you have done that have changed these people's lives. It's what I'm able to do through you. And it's just a very basic, simple thing for you and I that we hear about a ministry or we hear about a need and our first thought is, and probably should be, at least at the beginning, what can I do? How can I be a part of this? And so we think about our talents and we think about our giftings and we think about our resources and we think about our time. And of course, all of those things are ours, right? Not God's, they're ours. But we need to probably process that differently. Okay, what has God gifted me with? How am I making use of my time for God's glory? And what is he wanting me to do as far as my priorities go? So we need to think about all those things and that the power for our ministry is not in our giftedness alone, but is in the Spirit of God working through us. Those disciples, when asked by Jesus, was commanded really to feed the crowd. And they're like, no way, God, is pretty much what they said. We can spend all this money and if that's really what you want us to do, but we don't think that's a good idea. And in their own strength and in their own power, they saw no way for that crowd to be taken care of. And so when I say the power for ministry, it is not in our own power that we minister, but it is in the power of the Lord Jesus that we minister. Jesus realized that, and so he is like, you know, I'm bless those disciples. I'm working on them and they're learning, but they're not quite there yet. So, all right, guys, get out of the way. I've got this. And in the power of his Father's name, he blesses the food and a wonderful miracle that awes us even to this day was performed. Those disciples would have never been able to do that on their own. It would have been by the power and in the power of the Lord himself. And when we think about ministry and we think about serving, so much of the time we think of all the reasons why we could or why we couldn't or why we shouldn't or why we should. And the main thing we need to do we have the power of God in our life? And if we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, then we need to be serving somewhere. We need to be serving in the church. We need to be serving in our community. We need to be serving the Lord in the ways that he has called us to. And it is never to be in our own strength, but always to be in his. And Jesus says, boys, here's another teaching moment for you. You thought there was no way when I will always be the only way. And so there is power in service when we follow the Lord in our life. Can I just add something onto this, and it's something that I'm trying to teach myself, is there is a lesson here that if you're exhausted, you will not minister well. If you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off, you're probably ministering like one too. And we need to find time away. We need to find time to refresh and rejuvenate and restore. This is both true for those in pastoral ministry and leadership in the church, and on down the line it goes. We need to find places to get away and places to restore and rejuvenate ourselves. And we find in our relationship with God the source of power to serve. Not in our education, not in our training, not in our good looks or our pocketbook or anything like that. It is in our deep walk with God that we find the power that we need. So Jesus was teaching his disciples about the power of ministry, but he was also teaching them about the perspective of ministry. The perspective of ministry, you'll see that on the screen. The disciples were given this command by God to minister. Does God ever do that to you? You know, I didn't read that and hear, you know, Joe, you really ought to think long and hard about feeding those people, and maybe someday, if you think hard enough about it, you should do it. He said, go and feed them. He commanded them to go. And I don't know how your relationship with God processes, but it seemed pretty clear to me that when Jesus wanted his disciples to do something, he told them to do it. And they heard his voice clearly and they obeyed him. And like we've said many times, really simple concept. Jesus tells you something, you say yes or no, and you go on. But so many times we have justifications, we have excuses, we have distractions, and the Lord has already spoken to us about what he wants us to do, but for all the worst reasons, we find a reason not to. And so there's a perspective that we need to think about in this story that sometimes we miss being in the light of the wonderful miracle that was happening. But Jesus said, feed the crowd. And it says in that passage, like in others, he was moved with compassion upon the crowd because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He loved them. He longed for them. He would die for them. And there was an intimacy and a concern and a connection that the minister had with the people that the disciples missed in this whole story. Oh, God, can't we just send them away because they're just going to be hungry again? We don't have time to take care of these basic human needs because we have miracles to work. And Jesus said, yeah, you missed a chance right there. Their perspective was all wrong. They had more important things to do, more important places to go. Their time would be better used somewhere else with someone else. And all this while, Jesus is trying to lead them into the realization that the people that are right in front of you are the ones most likely that he's calling you to. Sometimes we think that being a minister in whatever capacity is going to Africa, or is taking a pastoral position at a church, or being the head of a nonprofit, or whatever it is. And Quakers have always said, we're all ministers. The congregation is a minister of God. And so we need to have that perspective that Jesus had when he saw these people in the depth of their need. He loved them. We talked about it last Sunday. This word compassion means his guts wrenching inside out. He has a longing, he has a burden, he has a passion, he has a deep, unwavering concern for the well-being and the salvation and the preservation of these people's hearts. And the temptation for us in our busy American culture is go, go, go. And then maybe if we have a really good song come on the radio, and thank goodness for those, or a passage or a message that we hear on the radio or at church or whatever it is, that we get moved for a couple of weeks to be more involved and to pray more for the needs of others. And we, you know, we're a little more sensitive for a couple of weeks, but then the busyness and the reality of life kicks back in and we continue on our merry way. Missing the miracles of serving, missing those moments close to the heart of Jesus where he changes everything for us and for the people that we minister to, because we're in his power and not our own, and we just go, 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 do, do, do. And our perspective is all out of whack. And what Jesus is trying to say is, guys, they're right here. I'm right here, and you're right here. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, he is in the midst of them. Let's do something for these people right now. And the disciples had all the excuses in the world. And Jesus probably said, you know what, guys, just get out of my way. I'll take care of this. I don't know if that's the way he did it or not. But he's like, we need to love them. We need to serve them. We need to show them the care that God's family gives to those in need. Jesus gave them that command, but he also places in our hearts the burden to help those who are in need. Have you heard that voice in your heart or life? Have you lived your life with that kind of compassion for others that places their needs above your own? We talked about it in the Soul Shift series, moving from me to we, from me to you, just changing the way we think about our life, from all the things that I want to do and be and accomplish to the realization that there are people all around me who need grace. So he talks about a change in perspective in our life. And he also talks about this idea of being principled. I don't know about you, but there's been times when I've been a lot like the disciples in this story. And it's not easy for us to admit this, but it's something that we need to do. Well, I heard about a need, or I heard about someone, or I walked by someone who, in whatever kind of capacity, whether spiritual or emotional or physical need, there was something there. No one needed to say anything to me about it. They didn't have a sign up. Maybe they did. And as a matter of principle, it was not in my heart to at least take the time to listen or to care or to pray. So I sound like the first two people in the story of the Good Samaritan. I mean, scholars, leaders, pastors. You know, those first guys were kind of the upper echelon of the church in that day. And the guy was beat to a pulp. I mean, he was almost done. If anyone was in need, it was that poor guy laying there on the side of the road about ready to die. And yet it was the common thing, the insinuation is that for so many of us, even in the church, we just drive on by. We just walk on by. We just keep on doing things the way we've always been doing them. And the principle is just turn the other way and keep going. It's what the disciples wanted to do. Just send them away and have them get their own food and we can go on with life and ministry. And Jesus said, where are your principles? Where's your heart in this? They're here right now and they need you and they need me. So the principle that I took away from that story is not to be like the disciples, or at least to endeavor not to be. Then when there's a need in front of me and I know about it, the principle is not to turn away. It may not be that I can be like the man that came last in the story of the Good Samaritan. I may not be able to bring him into a hotel and pay for all of his medical care and all of those things, but the principle should be as a Christian that I do something, right? Or is our principle, because we can never fix everyone's problems, our main principle is to just keep on going and someone else will take care of it? So the three ideas I really quickly wanted to share with us this morning was there's power in ministry because of Jesus. We sing that wonderful old hymn of the church, there is power in the blood of the Lamb. And that is the power that you and I serve. And as we serve him, he changes our perspective. He changes our thinking about people and about ministry to have a burden for them, to listen to his commanding voice, to go, to serve and to help. And then that our principles change because of his power, because of his perspective. The way we think about the way we live our life is forever different. And the people that I've met in my life who have been filled with the power of the blood of Jesus have a very different perspective on life than sometimes even I do. And the principles that they hold dear will forever challenge my heart, because they're wrapped around the call of God to serve, to love, and to minister as he leads them and he guides them. And it's my prayer that we would live that way too, in the power of the blood of Christ, that Jesus changes our perspective about ministry and about ourselves and about life and about others, and that our principles are transformed based on what Jesus is doing in our heart and our life. And that's where I felt the Lord leading us. I'm really glad to have Jeff and his wife Tracy here with us. They are from the WHO Homeless Ministry. They have agreed to come on fairly short notice to share with us, and they skipped their morning worship service to be with us. So thank you for making changes to be here with us. And they're going to have as much time as they need. You can have more than 15 minutes if you'd like, just to talk about the ministry they are a part of, and they'll answer any questions you have. And we are, I'm in prayer that our church can play a great part in what they're doing. So welcome. Thank you.